And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah,
yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Dave DeFore. We got Wozni Lambert. We got Jay King. We got Trevon Edwards. And today, we kick off the week. LeBron is injured. The Rockets literally do not know how to win a basketball game. We got deadline talk coming up. We got Ben Simmons crapping all over Rudy Gobert, sort of. And we've got a Celtics team meeting as they try to stave off embarrassment. So, guys, let's start off with the big story of the weekend. LeBron James goes down with a high ankle sprain and the scary word of he is out indefinitely. Indefinitely, which was, as we know, just means we don't know when he's coming back. Might be a, you know, Dennis Schroeder said a couple, he'll be back in a couple days. So I guess team sources.
Is that what Schroeder said?
He said that, yeah. He said, like, we're not worried. Like, you know, Bron, he'll be back in a couple of days. Like, that's essentially what he said. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's not that serious. Jeff Stotts of In Street Clothes, who does an amazing job of chronicling injuries. He gives great context to everything. His database is insane. And so he said in an average 82-game season, guys with high ankle sprains usually miss about 10 games. And there's obviously high variance in both of those situations. So, Waz, no LeBron, no AD, and I'm going to ask it, should the Lakers be worried about falling to the play-in tournament?
I mean, no.
Waz, the long and the short of it. They're not that far ahead, you know? They're only short of it.
If this was somebody else... If this,
I don't know, Waz, though. The seven seed.
Here's the thing.
Waz
here's
is
the panic
do the
button,
Superman
no, Waz.
Thing here, though.
If this was somebody else, like, and you would, and they could probably potentially miss 2 to 3 weeks, I'd be like, all right, cool. But it's LeBron, and it's LeBron's ankle specifically. Like, how many times have we seen this dude roll his ankle like really badly and not even really leave the game ever?
Right.
If it was some other body part, I'd be like, maybe he's gonna miss some time. But like, this dude eats ankle injuries for lunch, like, and it's always been that way. So I wouldn't expect this to be much differently. Now, yeah, if he missed a like an extended period of time, because I don't think that they're that strong of a team with just AD, right? Because LeBron does so much of their offensive initiation. You know, Schroeder does it basically in a backup role, but like that, it's LeBron who's initiating offense for them all the time. And his on-off numbers have kind of bared that out. Like, they've been pretty bad in the non-LeBron minutes, but I think he's going to be back pretty soon, so it'll be okay. But if I'm wrong, yeah, they might have to go.
I was going
to
say, I'm pushing back and saying you're wrong.
He might be in the seventh seed.
What's that, Trey?
Imagine the Lakers.
I was
going to
push back and
game.
Say that Waz is wrong.
Waz is wrong?
I will say that now because, again, I was feeling like Waz when AD was out because I trust LeBron that much. But when you're looking at a first option, Kyle Kuzma or Schroeder or whoever it may
Trez,
be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not much to hold up. You know what I mean? They're gonna steal a couple games. You know what I mean? But I could see the West getting stronger as, you know, the big dog is down or showing some type of blood, you know?
And look at the next three games, Trey.
You said what?
The next three games. They got Suns, Pelicans, Sixers.
And can get big smacked. So when you also look at it as, you know, this, I mean, I would like to think Bron is superhuman, and he has in the past 8 ankle injuries. But at 36, and the I don't know if that was Academy Award scream or not. It looked very serious and had everybody saying, I'm praying for you. But this injury normally is between 6 weeks in 3 months. And obviously, I think I'm going to take the under for LeBron. Same confidence as Waz.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be more than 10 games. I think the Lakers will be super cautious with this.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing about that is I was on the radio with Amin Al-Hassan this morning, and we were talking about this. And we were going by like that 10-game average from Jeff Stotts. And over the next 10 games, the only three games where you could see them winning without LeBron and AD, they play Cleveland, they play Orlando, they play Sacramento, right? Just three garbage teams. But even then, like, okay, you're going in there with Kuz and Trez and Schroeder.
Like, right. It's not exactly looks a lot like Sacramento.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like a lot like Sacramento without De'Aaron Fox out there. And so like best case scenario over those 10 games feels like 3-7. Right. And so, and at that point, like you could be losing serious ground. And so I don't think they're not going to miss the playoffs, obviously. But if what Trey is saying is accurate, and I'm kind of leaning towards what Trey's saying here of it being a little bit longer, Dave, like the Lakers, I don't think there's going to be any point where the Lakers lack confidence as long as they're healthy in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the top six seed, if this is an extended period of time, like it is not guaranteed for them. Like the West is good. The West is too good for this.
Yeah. Well, and you know that because the Jazz and the Suns have been like 1-2 for the last couple of weeks, right? Like the Lakers haven't even been in that conversation just because they haven't had Anthony Davis. Yeah, I think they're going to be really bad if LeBron misses a bunch of time. I mean, I don't think that's breaking new ground. The issue is, what's it going to look like when he comes back? I mean, think about when these guys get ankle injuries early in the season and it hampers them through the rest of the year to the point where sometimes we're still talking about them in the playoffs because ankle injuries are the worst. You have to use that ankle constantly. And everybody knows, you know, I say all these guys always come back too fast from ankle injuries and they lead to knee injuries and things like that. And so I think that Trey is right. They're probably going to treat this as cautiously as they can. But what if Anthony Davis just has to miss another month and it's not coming back in another 2 weeks and LeBron's also coming back in 2 weeks and they're going to go on a big run? I mean, what if he's gone longer and then LeBron comes back and he's not the LeBron that he was before this injury, you know, for the rest of the season? I don't know, man. It starts to feel shaky. I mean, we knew health was going to determine this season. I didn't think it was going to happen like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's some real concerns here. Like, for the first time, I'm taking a LeBron injury serious.
Yeah, seriously.
For the first time. Yeah. Like, the first, like, few years of his career. I mean, I think at the time I think when I gave up on the whole injury thing, it was against the Bulls in the playoffs where he ran into, like, Taj Gibson at midcourt or something like that, and you would have thought, like, a sniper got him. And he was down, he's rotting on the ground. So I think at that point I was like, okay, I don't believe LeBron anymore when he says he's hurt, right? Like, I don't believe it. But it's been a long time since I've looked at LeBron James get injured and thought, uh-oh. And the groin injury was something where even then I was like, it can't be this bad, right? It's LeBron, he's Wolverine. Like, it's fine. And now for whatever reason, maybe just because it's a high ankle sprain. I think if it was just a rolled ankle, yeah, he, as Waz said, he eats those for lunch. But a high ankle sprain, like, I don't know that I don't remember him ever having one. I could be wrong on that, but I don't remember.
No, I don't think he's ever had one, but also it's associated with his knee as well. So those things, like, that's the thing that most people don't normally pay attention to. They say, oh, it's an ankle. Well, it goes into so much different things as far as when you look at, you know, the breakdown, because it goes from ankle to high ankle, to knee, to hips, you know what I mean? And then it just goes to back. So again, at this age, yes. I mean, in the past, we think it like, oh, he's only going to miss like 4 games and he'll be back. You have to think about the odor and recovery. Now, he's going to work his butt off and he's going to, you know, refuse to let this team fail because obviously he wants to repeat. And he knows that the window is very small. But the Lakers need to be very cautious with their two prized possessions, you know, pretty much. And, you know, obviously they need to let Bron know that, hey, I know you want to get back out there, but take your time too. Because it can result in something even worse is what I'm saying. It's pushing it even more. More we've seen in the past as players, you know, working really hard to get back. And then it just only, like, kind of makes the injury even worse, or channel something else.
It's funny because at the time of the Schroeder and Harrell acquisitions, I think everybody thought, okay, that's going to help them weather this season when Davis needs to rest or LeBron needs to rest. But that's a fragile team. If either of those two main guys goes down, they're fragile. And I don't think it'll impact them as long as they're healthy during the playoffs. But like Dave said, they need both of those guys at 100% during the playoffs. They are very much centered around those two guys playing at a level that no other duo can reach. And if LeBron or Davis is even hobbled a little bit, then it's hard to see the Lakers being close to the level they were last season.
Yeah, and, you know, I honestly think in the first round, they probably want to avoid the Clippers because just matchup-wise, the Clippers for the last two seasons has been the team that's given them the most trouble in these regular season games. So maybe they want to avoid that. But, like, you know, you're looking at if they fall to, like, say, the fifth seed or the sixth seed, I don't think they're worried about playing Portland or Denver or Phoenix or even Utah, to be real. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just not worried at all.
Like, the Lakers are like March Madness, bro. Like, seeding doesn't matter, but then also the same thing with where they land in the playoffs. They're good as far as just getting there and being healthy. But when you also think about, again, the health, like availability is going to be king in all of this. And if they can make it, you know, and figure it all out, then they should be good.
Does that make the Lakers gold chain guy the sister Jean? Is that what that is? I mean, look, if you can tell
that
me,
man, that's so disrespectful to Sister Jean.
Why? Why do we care about Sister Jean?
I thought Jimmy Gold's theme was this.
Iconic.
Let me tell you, iconic. Sister Jean's not iconic, right?
Oh, Sister Jean's an icon.
No, I meant the Lakers guy.
Oh yeah, Lakers guy's iconic. Yeah, he's iconic. Sure. Thank you. Yeah.
I once sat next to a former Loyola Chicago player while playing poker in Las Vegas. And no lie, I was kind of anti-Sister Jean at the time. I was like, man, this she gets all this publicity. Like, she's always hogging the limelight.
Where does
this
she
and
play?
That. Yeah, exactly. Like, let Cameron Krutwig have a little bit of the spotlight every once in a while. But then the guy, he told me she knew all the scouting reports for every team they played. She would, like, go to practices. She was just – and this was 20 years ago, long before she became famous – I am the biggest Sister Jean guy in the world now, and I will not stand for slander.
She knows the other team's scouting reports, so what, she has a subscription to The Athletic or something? Like, what are we talking about?
So she reads Sam Vecini? Like, yeah, we all do.
She must watch Synergy or something. I don't know.
What are we talking about?
Let me tell you this. As someone who went to 12 years of Catholic school, I do not respect Sister Jean, all right? Okay, you're a nun. I don't care. Get out of here.
The only podcast that's going to slander...
Yeah,
yo, they're gonna be like, yo, I listened, I had to turn it off because this guy's going to hell. They're talking about Sister Jean.
I just so disrespectful and despicable. More like Loyola Chicago, because you're lying to yourself if you're saying you're a fan. That's what I say. Exactly.
Yo, she got some fire prayers. I'll say that, bro. Because they be smoking cats in March. The prayers be going up, bro.
I gotta give it to her. She does have some fire prayers. You're
listen,
right.
Her prayers are fire, bro. When you really think about it, like she said, she prayed, and I'd be like, yo, she got a direct line to the hoop gods, because like they come through and rip your bracket up for you.
She doesn't pick them to win the title. She only picks them to go, like, I think she picked them in the Sweet 16
first
last
of all,
time. She picked
gods,
them only Elite Eight this time.
Here's the thing, though, Jay. She go to sleep, and the hoop gods come talk to her, like, chill.
She go to sleep because she can't stay up for the late games. She's like, she doesn't even know if they won or
but
not.
But to be fair, they have to win if she's skipping her 2 p.m. dinner.
Speaking of winning, anybody but the Rockets.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Right, 20 straight losses. They lose just a tough one. John Wall missed the three that would have snapped a 19-game losing streak. I think 20 in a row is their record. I think 18 in a row was the Rockets' record. The good news, if you want to look for a silver lining here with the Rockets, is they didn't lose by double digits, which I think they had done like 13 straight times, which is also either a record or it's the second most ever. So at first it was like this team. Here's the crazy thing. This team was 11-10. At one point this season.
It was a feel-good story.
And then Christian Wood got hurt. And so I think for the next, 17 games, maybe it was 18 games, 17, 18 games, the Rockets couldn't win a game and it just didn't matter. And they had traded for Oladipo. It doesn't matter. He was in and out of the lineup and everything. And PJ Tucker doesn't want to be there. And now Christian Wood's been back for a few games and, you know, the Rockets just like casuals out there on the court. Like they're losing every single time. And so I do kind of think this is best case scenario for the Rockets because it is pushing them to probably, all right, Oladipo as a guy, it doesn't look like that was long for anything anyway. I don't think he's going to resign. So maybe this gives them even more reason to trade him and get something in return. It also adds quite a bit to them, like, putting effort into developing Kevin Porter Jr. and Kenyon Martin Jr. and Tate. And I feel like I'm missing another young guy, I guess Christian Wood. Like they have the incentive to go develop those guys. But Dave, you brought this up before the pod, and I do think it's an interesting question. Like, is there going to be a point where Tillman Fertitta just says, shut up in business, Steven Silas, you're out of here. You know?
Yeah. Well, before we get into the negative, let's just stick with the positive for 1 second with the Rockets. They've lost 20 straight, and somehow the Minnesota Timberwolves still have a worse record.
Not somehow. Like, Timberwolves. This is what they do.
Houston's actively trying to catch them and cannot. So they're not.
Carl Anthony
Minnesota.
Towns is the baddest in the game.
Yeah. But, I did bring that up. One of the things that has bugged me about the situation, and we talked about it when Steven Silas was hired, because we knew at that point that James Harden was likely on his way out. You know, he is a career assistant coach who finally gets a shot, and this is what he gets. And look, it's how the business works. You're not going to, they're not hiring him to coach the Warriors because it's his first head coaching job. I get it. But the worry that I have is that this is a stain. It's going to stick with him. But Tillman's so cheap that it might not matter. Maybe he's just like, you know what? We're going to ride this out. And it winds up being a good thing for Steven Silas, because maybe he does get that second chance or third chance that other guys aren't able to get. So in a way, the Rockets' sort of inability to just throw bad money away might work in his favor. And they're going to get a really high draft pick.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Steven Silas, man. Think of everything he's had to deal with this year. James Harden doesn't even show up to training camp on time. DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall get pissed off at James Harden. DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall are the two veterans in the room, and they're disgruntled right away because the star doesn't want to play with them. Then Harden basically goes in a press conference and demands a trade. It wasn't exactly like that, but for all intents and purposes, yes. The guys that are left, half of them know they're not going to be there long term. I assume John Wall's one of those. Victor Oladipo, he's turned down a contract extension. He probably wants out. The other half, PJ Tucker, he was there because he played well with James Harden. Well, he's gone. So Tucker's not as valuable anymore. Daniel House isn't as valuable anymore. And now Steven Silas has to try to put all of this together And it's just been an absolute mess. And I don't think it's his fault. I just think that whole situation has been set to crumble this entire season. And we've seen it over the last 20 games. They don't have much talent. The talent that they do have knows that this is a situation that's going to do a lot of retooling and that they're not going to be there for a long time. So it's just really, really tough to coach in that type of situation.
I'm interested because in the Moore years, they never really had a complete shutdown.
No, right? Never,
like
never,
never had a complete strip down, which I thought was kind of one of the more impressive aspects of Maury's tenure was that they never bottomed out. They always put out a competent product. So this ain't going to be that. Like, they're going to stink for the rest of this year. And next year, they're going to be pretty, pretty bad too. So, you know, I'm interested to see how they go about this. And like Zach mentioned, you know, this is a new owner. Like, Les Alexander sort of gave the general managers and presidents, like, he was like, yo, go ahead, do what you have to do. We believe in you. We're empowering you to make smart decisions. We believe in our basketball people. Fertitta doesn't seem like the most patient sort of take the long view type of guy. So, man, that Houston thing is definitely something to monitor, man. They feel like they're about to turn into Sacramento. What do we even call Texas? South?
Yes, Waz. What do we call it?
To
piggyback though off Waz, what he said, the culture reset, and he's right. Like, most people like gut it all the way through.
Yeah,
they try to hang on. You know what I mean? And we have been preaching about this. Like, what are the Rockets going to do ever since? You know, and when you look at it, they moved everybody that was unhappy, and then you know they got John Wall and now Oladipo and. It's other guys that's just kind of like now they're having a fire sale, which we think that we've been screaming for Orlando to have. Houston's trying to do that, and they're still going to be bad. Like you said, I don't even think it's going to be for the next year, but the year after that. I just say just start all over and give the team to Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood and just build around them.
It was wild. They haven't had a losing season since 2005-2006. That's also
which you got to respect.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's also the last time the Sacramento Kings made the playoffs. 2005, 2006.
That's crazy.
Kevin Martin.
And that's like a little bit of as much slander as the Rockets fans get.
Freaky Friday situation.
They haven't had a bad time yet.
Yeah. It's here.
This is a good year to be bad, though. It's a good year to be horrible. This draft is loaded.
Yeah, as long as they get the right pick.
Yeah, that's
the. Do they even own their pick this year?
I would assume so. I don't think Daryl Morey would.
I think they'll get something by Thursday. I'll say that.
Well, so that's a good transition, Trey, because Oladipo seems to be the biggest name available. Maybe Kyle Lowry, but Oladipo because he's a rental at this point for them. Which this is where, like, they had demanded. Hey, we need a young guy, we need picks, and we need an all-star in return for James Harden. And so they flipped Caris LeVert for Oladipo to show, like, look, we got an all-star for him, right? And then they offer him, like, a $48 million extension over 2 years. He's like, I'm good. Thanks, but no thanks. And now you're going to flip him, but it sounds like the asking price isn't even that high. And it's like, yo, you could have this team with Caris LeVert. Right? Instead of like, I think you would feel even better about the future rather than just like you're about to lose.
But Tillman gets to save money, bro.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Oladipo's off the books after this season.
I know, but Caris is on what, like 18? So, like,
yeah, that's 18 hit a floor, more than Victor right? Next season, man.
Oh my god. This, like, Trey. For some reason, I have this. It is a non-educated guess of, like, for whatever reason, I just feel like Toronto's going to trade for Oladipo. I don't know why.
I could see Miami. I can see Cleveland. Not Cleveland. I forgot who it was. It was another team that was, like, not good, but I think they're just trying to unload the books and stuff like that. For next year. So, I mean, it should be interesting overall, but like I could see a bunch of like random guys getting sent.
Oh no.
Different places.
I just looked up the pick situation for the Houston.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
Well, so this year's pick is top four protected. Otherwise, Thunder can swap it. So if two teams move up in the, like two teams could move up in the lottery, knock them down to fifth, and they'll still get a pick, but they're going to get swapped. Oh, luckily, like OKC's not.
I mean, yeah, OKC's that good, not that good.
But still, like you may be going from franchise dude to non-franchise dude. Still a good player, but they kind of need this to be a top four pick.
It has to be.
Yeah, and you
lottery
know.
Lottery night is going to be. Pressure.
Just the idea that they gave OKC stuff to take on Russell Westbrook was just high comedy at the time. And now it's looking like, Jesus, really? We really did that? It's something to monitor, man. Like the Rockets have been a mainstay in the playoffs for a decade, basically. And, you know, now they'll do the ping pong game and hopefully they don't turn into the next Magic.
Man, just looking at this situation, though, I watched a video with Steven Silas and I just felt so bad because he's waited his whole life for this opportunity only for it to like kind of just burn. And it reminds me of like finding a genie in a lamp and they give you the wishes. But every time you wish. It's like a hidden message behind it. Like, it's just like backfires immediately. And it just sucks, dog. Cause it's like, this dude just like worked his butt off, you know what I mean? For two decades and finally gets his shot. And then he got players that's just like, nah, I'm cool.
Dude, it's like
just quitting on you in the locker room, you know? And I think that even if next year, you know, he got to stick around or whatever, it's just going to be so hard trying to do a cleanup job because. You know, the fake beards of the James Harden fans are going to still be laying around in that locker room.
How do you repurpose those? I don't think you can. There's a very real scenario in which Houston has to swap their pick, right? Because they dropped to like five. And the Minnesota Timberwolves lose their pick because they dropped to four in the lottery. And it goes to, it's top three protected. They go, and it goes to Golden State if that happens. Like there could be absolute destruction and chaos on lottery night. For once, I'm going to watch.
Yeah, the odds like being flattened really has changed a lot, and I've had to adjust how I think about these protections a lot.
Yeah,
because of it. Because a top four protection used to sound pretty good if you were a bad team, but now it's so easy to get up there that
it's a coin flip. It's it's 52% right now. 52% that the Rockets keep their pick as is. And with the Timberwolves, I think it's only 40% that they keep their pick.
Woo! Yes. Man, it's a good thing they traded for an all-star in D'Angelo Russell, right?
By the way, Kat and D'Angelo have played 90 minutes together this season. 90. Wow. That's it.
Yeah.
Do we think Oladipo will make a difference this year if he's traded before the deadline?
No. I mean, maybe as a guy like who could be like the seventh man or something, you know, like a good team. Think about it. Like a good team brings him on for the rest of the season. And he comes off the bench, sixth or seventh guy, depending on the team. And I don't mean that to like knock him. He's been up and down, mostly
like,
down, I think.
Do we think Oladipo could do a credible Dennis Schroeder impersonation?
See, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yep, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yes, because he can
play. You know what I'm saying?
I think if he locks in and says, I'm going to play defense and I'm going to add, I just think that wherever he ends up, especially if they're going on the up, he needs to have a low ask. Like, just try to remain healthy, give us a little spark, and that's it. Don't ask for too much and get yourself back to who you are in the summer.
But Trey, like...
Think about it. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Dave, but like, he's in a contract year.
I don't know
if you could get him to accept that role, Dave. He's in a contract year.
Is he a guy that might be on a 1-year deal next year? Like a make good type deal?
I could see like a 1-1. Like here, we'll give you because there's so much cap space, right?
Yep.
There's so much cap space.
Nobody's out there.
No one's out
there. Who's the last homie who's effectively done that?
I mean, LeBron.
I don't know. It's tricky.
LeBron did it with Cleveland every damn year, right?
Yeah. But the 1 year, fair. Like, fair. You know, the 1 year, either 1 year at a bigger number than anybody would want to do over the
like the 1 year
long.
At okay, like, yo, I believe I'm worth more.
I think it was Chris like, Humphries. I think that's the last.
Like, I believe I'm worth more than the market will bear out right now. I'm going to play on a 1 year and then end up getting cashed out after the 1 year after sort of betting on myself. I feel like people always like to say that they're going to do that in theory.
Sure.
And then it ends up like, turns out the market was correct.
It's tough.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. He's just a weird fit because I feel like to maximize him, you need to put him on ball. You need to give him a lot of reps as a ball handler. And right, like, he's not a great 3-point shooter. And right now, he's not good enough to be the main guy of an offense. So
it was Detroit that wanted him.
Yeah, and he's been an all-star before. He's been an all-defensive player, but that guy is years in the past, and
he doesn't get to the basket anymore.
He's just risky. He's risky right now to me, and risky in a way that, like, he can actually hurt your team because he'll take possessions away from better players if you're a very good team. I think it's going to end up being like a worse team that sells itself on the hope that he'll get better and get back to what he was and kind of redeem himself. But I'm not sure about the market for him, and I'm not sure just how well he fits on a lot of teams unless he is willing to play that Dennis Schroeder type role, like Waz said.
And yeah, he's also 29, right? So it's not like you're taking a bet or a gamble. It's not like a Christian Wood situation where, oh man, Christian Wood looked really great. Let's throw some money on him. Christian Wood's a little bit younger and doesn't have the big time injury history that Oladipo has. So I mean, he might be a 1 year guy. You really might.
I'm not gonna write him off right now. I ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna be that guy on this pod to die on the Oladipo hill. I still believe.
I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of the type of
Home Depot. Bring Home Depot. I want Home Depot back. Let's get Home Depot back. That's when he was hooping.
Yeah, if you're gonna try to construct a knee back up,
Oladipo's game, and I like that Trey said Detroit because Detroit is doing a very artful tank job right now in the sense that they've mixed in competent players while also still completely stinking up the joint. So it's like, yeah, we suck, but we didn't, you know, this isn't a race to the bottom situation. Like, our young guys are in an atmosphere where, no, we're playing hard, we're playing together, we're just not very good talent-wise. And so, you know, we're going to lose and do what we set out to do anyway. And I don't think Oladipo's the kind of guy that will, you know, move the needle over there, you know, as it pertains to win totals. So I think that would be a nice landing spot for him because, you know, because Grant can't take 30 shots a game, right? Like, it's fine. I know we're doing this
the hell
like
he can't. Look at him.
I know we're doing this Jerry and Grant as Michael Jordan routine over there. But, like, I don't think Depot cuts too much into that. And they could be the main cogs of that situation and still, more importantly, lose and let them, you know, sort of rack up on young guys still.
Okay, then let me throw this at you. Would you rather take a rental flyer on Oladipo or Kyle Lowry?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
The rest of the season.
If I'm Detroit, Oladipo, for sure.
Well, no, not sure. not Detroit.
Which guy's going to help you?
A team that's trying to win.
Oh, no, Lowry. It's not even close to me. To me, that's not even close. Even though,
like, defensively, you might be able to do more with Oladipo if he's right.
Lowry's one of the best defenders at that position in the league.
Yes, right. Against point guards, but I'm saying with Depot, you could, in theory, defend multiple positions. I'm just looking for like a versatility.
Right, no, here. I hear you. And I think if Victor Oladipo were to dedicate himself to being that type of glue guy, type of guy, he might be overqualified for that role. But to Trey's point, like he said, do we know that he wants to do that? I don't know. Time could tell. I just think with Lowry, like, he gives me so much stuff, like the shooting, the initiation. He could be your main initiator. He can be a secondary guy. He can guard some two guards with, you know, with a certain level of effectiveness. I just like Lowry just as a playoff piece. Like, he's just a winning player, bro.
I don't buy that Toronto's
shopping him for real.
Yeah. I think they're willing to take calls, right? I think they're going to be buyers at the deadline. Most teams are going to be buyers at the deadline. Like, I just think they are. Like, I don't think they see themselves that far out of, like, avoiding the play-in tournament in a positive way. Like, it's really like if they could turn around for 2 weeks, they could be in the sixth seed. Like, they're not that far back. They're not that bad. Like, they've gone through.
I think a lot of people got lost in that rough start. But when you look at it, it was a lot of close losses. Like, it was a lot of coin flip games.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you there, Zach. I don't think they're going to move Lowry either. And, of course, as soon as we finish this show, then, you know, we'll all get the notification.
I'm writing a trade reaction.
Yeah.
Trying to grade it. Yeah. All right. So then what about this? And this one's interesting to me because they are incredibly hot. I think 8 straight wins. They're now the 4 seed in the East. But I wonder if it's complicated things because there are still a lot of whispers and rumors about John Collins, right? And so I think you could look at what they've done recently, like, hey, they've won 8 straight games. Like, the competition has been nothing, but whatever, they won 8 straight games. Like, that's,
I was gonna say, please mention that.
Yeah,
like, the only quality win was Miami Heat,
right?
Everybody else is kind of missing.
Yeah, everyone's kind of missing. Then LeBron, you know, well, LeBron, we forgot to mention LeBron stayed in the game until he got his 10 points, and then all of a sudden
he got his 10 points. That was my theory. I didn't want to be that guy. I was still reading the praying for you tweets, man.
He did. He knocked down that 3. He's like, all right, I got to go, guys. This is enough. But John Collins. So here's what I think is interesting is John Collins wanted a max deal, right? He wanted a max extension. They said no, like, they're not doing that. And so since then, I've been under the assumption that a trade will get done for John Collins because I don't think they want to go into restricted free agency in a year, in a summer where there's so much cap room and no one to spend it on, to where I think then if you're a team with cap room, you say, okay, I'll throw a max offer sheet at John Collins. Maybe the Hawks will blink, right? And you don't want to lose him for nothing. And so at that point, maybe you move him if they truly don't believe he's a max player. But they have now gotten themselves up to the 4 seed the week of the trade deadline. And so I think that complicates a lot for them just in terms of making those decisions, right? They could still just be like, nah, we're going to ride into the summer. We'll see what happens. And if we have to match, we'll match. And then we'll figure it out from there. That's probably the most realistic way of going about that. But Dave, like, I almost wonder, this sounds so stupid. I realize as I'm formulating the sentence, it sounds so stupid. I wonder if this 8-game win streak has screwed up the Hawks' plans at the deadline.
It's funny. Probably not. You know, probably not. I would say no, but wouldn't it be more fun if it did screw up their plans? Like, and they just said, okay, look, we got to keep John Collins at all costs. And now we got to, like, let's add somebody else. So who's the craziest person we could add? You know, that would be fun, but I doubt it. I would guess the same as you that John Collins is probably going to get moved now. It's either that or you carry him into the summer and maybe you do a sign and trade with him. So he still is an asset, even if it gets to that point. That's one of the things that teams love about restricted free agency. And you're right, there's a lot of money, so he's likely to get paid. And it could even be a thing where everybody's happy at the end of the day carrying it to the summer.
Yeah, for right? sure.
But he could help a team, too.
I think he's a
good player.
I think he's a good player, but, you know, he's a tweener on defense. And so, you know, like, I feel like he's not a cornerstone type of guy. Or else they would have cashed him out over the summer, right?
Yeah.
So if that's how you feel and you think somebody might try to poison pill you, I mean, I think you should try to just basically cut your losses and get rid of dude. Like I said, I like him. You know what I'm saying? Especially like the way he's developed his 3-point shot and he's taking it at value now.
And I think he's a decent fit next to Trae Young. But if management has decided he's not, you know, a blue chip sort of guy, then, you know, get what you can for the dude. That's what I would do. But then again, the owner basically he gave a mandate of playoffs or bust this year. Right. So how can they playoff a bus like approach and trade their second best player? It's weird.
Yeah. I feel like at some point they just miscalculated things. Like they thought Danilo Gallinari was going to be this big upgrade over John Collins. And then they got into the season and Collins has still been that second piece for them. And so like, they try to load up for the playoffs when really the guy they needed to make a playoff push besides Trae Young was John Collins. And so I agree. I'm not totally sold on him. If he was like 2 inches taller and could handle defensive responsibilities at center, I'd be so high on him. But I just think his skill set's a little limited. He's not a great defender. I would have reservations about paying him a huge deal too. But if you're the Hawks, like, he makes a lot more sense there than Gallinari does, especially the way they've both played this season.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if anything, you would match a max deal for him and then try to get Gallinari the hell out of there, right?
Well, so, what they should have did, they drafted so well. Just use your draft picks and grow. Like, I don't understand why they just kind of did all this personnel and just kind of shook up a pot. It's like putting seasoning in a popcorn, right? And just be like, all right, I hope that one's not too salty, bro. They got Rondo. They got, Sagallo. You bring over Bogdan, right?
Yeah.
And then you got Big O, who they just drafted from L.A.
Yeah, he's good.
And then you got all these – like, you got people chilling. And then you got John Collins. Obviously, he didn't want to – he clearly don't want to be here. But at the end of the day, y'all doing way too much on the playoff or bust type thing, because you got Trey, who makes all the moves. You know what I'm saying? He modern-day MJ. He running up the stairs to the owner, like, fire him, or I want him out of town. You know what I'm saying? And they trying to make it work. And obviously, you know, they're responding really well to Nate McMillan. Shouts to him. But I'm just curious to just say free.
I don't want to downplay anything that Nate McMillan might be doing with that team. Are they responding well to him or the schedule?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay, that's fair.
I think it's a little bit of both.
And
because
they finally got their guys back too.
Yeah, you know, health was number one. Good call, Waz. Health was number one to move the needle on anything, right? They, you know, I'm still salty about how Lloyd Pierce went out. You know, he was dealt a bad hand this season, but you know, he lost the locker room, et cetera, and it goes that way. But ideally, I would part ways with Collins. I mean, it's no need to hang on. It's like being in a relationship, bro. Like, for real. You like, you know what? We got to go to this party. Everybody know we together. And y'all still fighting. And y'all just hanging on just because y'all want to do the photo ops. Let that man go. Bring back some value.
Trey, how else are you supposed to use the gram? All right? That's what you got to right? do. Yeah. You got to get
so
this photo ops.
Who would you – what makes them better to remain where they are,
man,
if
that,
they let
see, that's
Collins
good,
go?
That's a great question. Like, who – because if you're going to deal him, I'm assuming you're dealing him for a veteran who can make an impact. And I don't know who that guy is. Like, I don't know.
We've all heard, like, the how Collins kind of called out Trae Young earlier this season. But they've treated Trae Young like the guy, right? They clearly took to heart that he didn't seem to love Lloyd Pierce, and those two didn't get along great, and got rid of Pierce. They sided with Young in that. How would Young feel about losing his second best player as the four seed? Like, they've put him on this pedestal. They've given him obviously some power within that organization. What does he feel about that? And I don't know if his opinion should matter.
Well, but my guess is it does, and my guess would be that nothing happens at this point without them at least telling him, hey, this is what we're thinking. Not that he needs to approve it necessarily, but I'm guessing they're running everything by him.
And I think, like, that would piss me off as a player if finally in my career we're doing things right. We've won 8 straight games. We're going into this deadline humming, and the front office decides, you know what, like, this other – young guy, the second best player on the team, you know what, we're going to shop him because he's not the perfect piece, like to take a step back at this point would just be tough to swallow for those guys when things are finally going right.
If it's a step back, it would depend on who's coming back, right? In the trade. Like if it's a veteran who can make you better in the immediate,
easier. I like that as an idea for sure, in the sense that because you have player control of a restricted free agent, it makes him a more attractive piece for teams, which means that, you know, they could probably get some quality if that's what they went for. Usually when teams trade a guy like John Collins, they're looking for draft picks. So, you know, who knows? If they really shopped him and just said, yo, let's try to get the best possible player for this guy, they could probably get something pretty juicy in return.
Will it be as juicy as what Ben Simmons said about Rudy Gobert?
Ben Simmons is feeling himself. And you know what, man? Rightfully so. He's playing out of his mind on defense this year.
Just another guy taking shots at Jazz players, man.
But he also did with the LeBron injury.
You called them the Hawks. There is no bigger shot than that.
Yeah, that's true. With the LeBron
there's a new artist out, and you're like, yo, you're the next Milli Vanilli, kid.
With the surge. Like,
if they get to the conference finals like the Hawks did, then maybe I'll revisit that take.
Get out of here. We're headed towards a Jazz Bucks finals that the NBA is going to hate. But this is what Ben Simmons had to say via the Philadelphia Inquirer about Rudy Gobert. He's a great defender, but I don't think he's guarding 1 through 5s. You can't tell him to go guard Kawhi or Paul or guard a point guard. He's not doing that on a daily basis. This is obviously, there is a simmering debate once again with Ben Simmons versus a Jazz player for an award. Years ago, it was Ben Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell for Rookie of the Year. Now it's Ben Simmons versus Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't really care who's in the lead right now because we have so much season left to figure this out. What I do care about, though, is these guys shitting on each other in the media. I do like that because
this has a whiff of Daryl Morey litigating award season via the media, too. So who knows if Daryl Morey's been in his ear like, yo, you're guarding 1 through 5. You're guarding the best perimeter guys in the league every single night. That dude is just camping in the paint. I mean, come on now, Ben. Well, you know, he might be singing Sweet Nothings in his ear, so you never know.
Yeah. Ben Simmons is the best defender since DeAndre Jordan.
Doc's going to campaign. Daryl Morey's going to campaign. The Sixers are going to win all the awards.
But I do think this Simmons comment kind of gets at something that's bothered me about the Defensive Player of the Year award recently. And I think Rudy Gobert has been a deserving award winner. Rudy Gobert is an absolutely phenomenal defender. But if you play a game at the highest level of basketball, and I'm talking deep in the playoffs, Rudy Gobert is not the guy you'd pick as the best defender. He's just not. And I'm with Simmons that at that stage, versatility matters the most. It's who can guard 1 through 5, who can hold his own on the perimeter, but also down low. And so Rudy Gobert, to me, like, yes, from a night-to-night basis, that dude is the best defender in the league. But just once it gets to a certain level, he's not anymore. And he's still very good, but there are other guys like Simmons that I think are more valuable at that stage.
I mean, Gobert is so good at what he does, right? Like, I think that when we have these conversations, we do make fun of him, but he is really good at what he does. But Ben Simmons is just good at everything. You don't have to tailor any of your defense to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is just going to go out there and, you know, be a human octopus. And with Gobert, you can certainly make him as dominant as he has been, but you can't just throw him anywhere. You gotta have a system in place.
And I think the coolest thing about it, Dave, is that Ben Simmons thinks the Defensive Player of the Award, Player of the Year award, is worth fighting for. Like, he's decided that this is what he excels at, and he wants to be recognized for it. And so he's going out and making it important, right? And I think obviously the first step is going out on the court and executing that. But I'm, you know, I'm excited because of the mind state that it says about Simmons, that he's recognized that this is how he gets his, he helps his team win, is by being an absolute force on defense and being a sort of, and people are not going to like when I say this, is supercharged Draymond Green. Like, that's his destiny, you know, and it's dope that he's embracing that.
And Dave said, you know, the joke about DeAndre Jordan earlier with Doc Rivers. But I think there is some truth. Like, Doc goes into a place and he identifies what a player does best. And he says, look, this is what we need from you. Ben Simmons, we're not going to force you to stretch your game out. We know what you're not. But you could be one of the best defenders in the league. You can be one of the best passers in the league. And if you focus on defense and all of that stuff, and we have a top five defense, then that's when we'll be at our best. And he's always identified the buttons to press to kind of get guys to focus on what they do best. And Simmons is a very unique player. And he's come, think of his LSU days. People thought he was lazy. People thought he wasn't a winning player.
Like, he was lazy at LSU. Okay. He did not want to play the game of the NCAA, and I don't blame him for that.
And now I don't agree with him that he's the best defender in the league, but he's one of them. He's up there. And so I think Doc, you know, has played into that and kind of empowered him to stay in his lane and just be better than anyone else in his lane.
No offense to Tim Quarterman, but I think he saw that as the second best player. I was like, I'm good. I don't want to do this at LSU. I don't think that was a high priority for him. Man, we got to end this on a bad note. Some breaking news as we're recording this. LaMelo Ball out for the year with a fractured wrist.
That sucks, man.
He was so much fun.
Yeah,
I know
he was
like,
hooping.
Yeah, like he had won the battle with Jay King early on and just made him eat his words. Yeah,
he KO'd me round one.
Dominated.
Smoked him. Yeah, first round knockout.
For easy, yeah.
Turn injuries
Leon
off.
Leon Spinks. Look, that's what he did.
Turn injuries off, bro.
Leon Spinks, wow.
But yeah, it sucks, man, because he has been so fun to watch. Charlotte has been must-see TV basically since the year started. I love the synergy that him and Rozier have, where, like, at the end of the games, like, they're setting up their offense to get Terry Rozier looks, and he's knocking them down. Like, he's been, like, a big money clutch type of player all season. I just love the chemistry he's building with all his guys, the sort of, you know, him being just a one-man engine of transition offense. His shot has proven to be not broken at all and is like got a foundation to build off of. It's tough. But at least we got to see him come out there and do his thing and prove to people that he's going to be a really good player.
On another note, they season over. They done lost Rozier, Ball. And listen, just pack it up. Just pack it up.
Well, hold on, Trey. Waz's guy, Gordon Hayward, might be able to still work his magic.
I hear you.
Waz does love you. Everyone who looks like Gordon Hayward.
What they gonna go get Greg Paulus off the couch or something? Watch out, man. No, listen, just
Josh McRoberts.
Get Kirk Heinrich out of retirement.
Hey, you feel me? Somebody just got fired from his college job, right? He's available. He'll slap a floor for you.
Put him on the staff.
Yeah. It sucks though, man. Like, LaMelo's so good. That's the thing. Not he's only not just fun, he's good.
Yeah, and I think everyone doubted that about him, right? Like, would he play winning basketball? Yeah. From day one.
That's such an interesting thing too, right? Because like that Australian league is not very good and he was so bad over there. But you also like, is that an environment to develop guys for the NBA? Like, no, clearly not. I think the Heat sent James Ennis over there for the first like year of his career. And they're like, all right, we got to get you out of there. Why don't you come to Miami? Like, I don't know that. I think that's why all the doubts were, is because he was supposed to go overseas and like, hey, he's going to skip college and do this. And he was horrible over there. But as soon as he stepped on an NBA court, it was magic, right? Not Johnson, but it was just, it was so much fun.
Shades of it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he sling the ball around like that. Like he's pretty
incredible. Magic, no Thaddeus Young.
So let me ask this question. Here's a sports radio-y question for a podcast. is LaMelo Ball still going to win Rookie of the Year? Because
nah, that's out of there.
Then Anthony Edwards,
nope,
charging.
Just pass it off.
He 30 had a game for the rest of the year.
He had it. He had it. But ever since that dunk, watch this.
I mean, he's been so much better than Anthony Edwards, though. I know the raw numbers aren't going to say that, but like the counting stats or whatever, box score stuff, but he has just been a way better player on a way better team. You know, obviously he's had his deficiencies on defense, like pretty much 99.999% of rookies that have ever been in the NBA. But I just think he's been so much better. But who knows? Anthony Edwards is peaking.
Anthony Edwards wouldn't be my choice. He wouldn't be my choice if LaMelo doesn't win it. It would be Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
And I think I'd still lean toward LaMelo because he was one of the best players on a playoff team. Yeah. And he impacted winning every time he stepped on the court. And that to me means a lot. But Haliburton to me is the second guy. Obviously the Kings haven't been as good, but he plays winning basketball too. He's been efficient. He's been smart.
He doesn't play winning basketball. He's on the Kings.
That's my pick. He's
the adult in the room for the Kings.
The worst defense in NBA history by a lot.
Look, that was my pick for a rookie of the year at the beginning of the season. So if that happens,
it's going to be another, it's just called Malcolm Brogdon 2.0 if that happens.
Oh man, I'm going to be Negro Domus, bro.
I think it's still LaMelo. I think LaMelo still wins it.
Yeah, he's just been so much better than anyone else.
Yeah. I think he did enough to win it, but
and it's not like Zion versus Ja, cuz Ja was amazing. And yeah, Zion was better than Ja, but Ja was still at a level like you kind of had to give it to him cuz he played all season and he did a lot. I don't think anyone else has reached that point or even approached it.
Yeah.
There's just a huge gap between LaMelo and the next guy.
All right, before we go.
Can I interest you guys in any Wiseman love?
No. I mean, I think Emmanuel quickly would be Jesus guys, Emmanuel quickly would probably be the other rookie. sorry, Wiz.
That was not for rookie of the year. Answer, Jade. Yeah. Jade, edit in just a little bit of space so it's not so aggressive.
No, not at all.
Breathlessly. Well, here's the one problem with the.
I like
quickly.
Him long term. I think he's going to be very good, but not even close to rookie of the year.
Here's the problem with quickly. He's shooting 39% from the field.
Yeah. Still makes an impact though.
He does.
Floater season good. Though.
Yeah, he he's does good. Stuff right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
I want to reward nice. That like it's boxing. That guy's sure. active, so you know.
Is that what we reward in boxing? He impacted sure. on the mat.
I mean, there's a lot of it. Yeah. Dictating pace is important.
All right, and, before we,
Emmanuel quickly does that.
He does do that. Also, the alternative was playing Elfrid Payton, so you know it's a low bar to clear. At least for a while. All right, before we go, best guess, Jay. Is it an active trade deadline? Also, bonus question for Jay. Will the Celtics actually pull off a trade, or will we just hear about the trades they could have done on Friday?
I think the Celtics will pull off a trade.
Whoa!
I think they'll use at least a piece of the trade exception. I just think, number one, the opportunities aren't going to change much over the offseason. Number two, the salary situation changes for them a bit when Jason Tatum's extension kicks in next year. So I think there's an urgency to make a move now, because of how they played and because of the salary situation. I think they definitely make a trade. What was your other question?
Will it be an active trade deadline?
Yeah, but I don't see anyone like super impactful moving places. Like,
yo, what was that, bro?
I thought he was going to say, yeah, buddy. I thought he was hitting us with a yeah, buddy.
It sounded like he was about to take off at a Clearport. He was, yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of trades, but like nothing too impactful.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think any big players are getting moved. I don't think we're going to get shocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like even if it's Oladipo, we're not going to be shocked about that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe surprised by really where he goes. Changer. Like what if the Knicks trade for him, right? Like maybe that would be surprising, but yeah.
Lowry, I think you're right. Lowry's probably the most impactful guy that just off the top of my head I can think of has a good shot to move. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of action because everybody wants to keep going. Everyone wants to try to win.
Everyone's in play. Well, not everyone, but most teams are in play now because of the play-in tournament. Yeah.
It's a sneaky good year to tank because, you know, you not have a lot of fans there anyway. And you know, you might be at your capacity even while you're tanking just because people are looking for stuff to do, you know. So we could see maybe teams make a little pivot and start stealth tanking here.
But if you're the Bulls, sit there and think, like, we're in the playing game. Let's not trade these veterans we have. I don't know, man.
That's if Reinsdorf even gets a taste of some extra money, that's what he wants.
Yeah, it's going up.
I trust Arturis Karnisovas to make good deals, but I don't trust Reinsdorf to, like, allow some of these deals to happen if he thinks it's going to cost him some playoff revenue.
I don't know. I hope they go to the playoffs, though. I need some playoff Zach LaVine.
Oh, God. Absolutely. Trey.
They're going to lose in five, but it'll be great.
Right. Trey. Or
I think active. I think the Lakers. I think all these teams that are now experiencing these crazy random injuries are not going to, like, swing super big, but enough to, like, what's the fix of tape, you know, with the leak? They're going to slap the tape on it and
seal it or whatever.
Right? That's what those type of moves are going to be. I don't think it gets too crazy where we're just like, oh my God, you know? But
I just have this visual of LeBron sawing a boat in half.
If anything, I say one crazy deal. Okay. One.
Waz, will there be a bigger impact trade than PJ Tucker to the Bucks?
I think so. I think we're going to get something out of all the guys we just mentioned. Lowry situation. I think John Collins is something to monitor. I think those guys are clearly better players than PJ Tucker. So I think, yes, I think a player better than PJ Tucker gets moved before the deadline. Book it.
Booked. Consider it booked. All right, that's going to do it.
You got a cancellation fee between 24 hours. So
That's the last thing that will be said right there. Cancellation fee for BasketBuds, the Athletic NBA show. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic to check out all the best trade coverage leading up to the deadline on Thursday. We'll have all your reactions and all kinds of good stuff, plus The Athletic NBA show throughout the rest of the week with Tampering, with Hoops Adjacent, with Point of Contention, and with Nerdist, She Wrote, and of course No Dunks, House of Strauss, all the team specific shows. Just keep it locked in on The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.